joining me here, the leadoff man of the show here. He's the head football coach at St. Edmund. He's Coach Matt Dillon. And you know, Coach, last night, certainly not the results you wanted against West Hancock. 55-14, you fall in that one. And what we knew was going to be the key in trying to slow down that great running game they have, you just couldn't find a way to do that last night.
Rob, we threw everything and the kitchen sink at them, and we just couldn't get them stopped, you know. And it concerned me last week when I saw their offense kind of get their act together,
starting
to figure out how they wanted to do things and who they wanted to do things with. And you know, their first two games are against 2A schools, mind you, you know. That's a big jump up for a Class A school to have to play a 2A school. But, you know, they lost their first one to Garner-Hayfield-Ventura 14-6. The next week they go to overtime to beat Forest City 13-7. And you know, and then all of a sudden last week, bang, they throw 35 up on Garrigan. Kind of similar to what happened to us last night in the first half, and they settled in and played their younger kids in the second half and ran it out 35-0. Well, last night it was a similar deal. You know, we got to take a little bite of humble pie here today. We just didn't answer the bell, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, we had people there to make plays, to make tackles, and we just couldn't finish it off. And, you know, one of the things we stressed all week long in tackling was that we had to have 3, 4, 5 hats around the football.
You're not talking about that.
To take him down, and we didn't get that. So now it's a one-on-one type tackle with a 225-pound running back, the rolling ball of butcher knives, so to speak, and then against, you know, 175 or 180-pound linebacker trying to make that play. And guess who's going to win that most of the time?
Absolutely.
And I got to give their team and Cole Kelly a lot of credit. You know, I watched him on film for 3 games, and I said, man, this kid's a pretty good back. And then when you see it live, it really kind of opens that up for you. No, he's not a pretty good back. He's a darn good back. So.
Yeah. Well, he had 5 rushing touchdowns on your last night, and really they were able to just kind of roll it up and jump out to a big lead. And I think they ran for over 450 yards and did not attempt to pass last night. And I don't know that I've ever seen that in a high school football game in my time. So that was certainly something. I've seen Army do it in college, but I've never seen anybody do it in high school. And certainly, I knew going in, and everybody there last night knew what they were going to do. But it's one of those things where, you know, when they execute and they've got not only the X's and O's, but the Jimmies and Joes to do it, it's one thing to talk about how to stop it. It's another thing to do it.
That's exactly right, Rob. You know, the first thing is literally they, for about 90% of their offense, they run 3 plays. And you know when they're coming. They know who's getting the ball. You know who's getting the ball. You know how it's going to happen. You just got to be good enough to stop it. And, you know, for the last 2 years, they were the premier running program in the state of Iowa.
Entire state.
Yeah. You know, they rushed for 5,500 yards or some crazy number last year.
5,000.
When they won the state championship the year before. I truly believe this because I was at the game. I thought they had the state championship kind of taken from them on an extremely bad call on a 4th-and-1 situation against Hudson in the semifinal that would have either tied or put them in the lead with less than a minute to go. And so they end up losing that game. Hudson went on to roll AHSTW in the championship game like 30-something to 13. So the winner of that West Hancock-Hudson game was going to be the state champion.
Yeah.
And you know, they came out a year ago and played with a vengeance, and they graduated a whole bunch of those guys, you know. But Cole Kelly didn't graduate.
Yeah, and they had other guys that, too, you know, they had something going on last year, too, that boded well for them to this year, and that was they beat people so bad last year that they were able to play a lot of young players.
Absolutely.
To get them developed into this.
They got real game time experience, and that's a hard thing to get, you know, if you're not blowing people out. In
right.
Close games, you know, at our level, we have so many, everybody's got so many guys that go both ways, it's tough to do that, you know. Yeah. And they, when you roll it up like they did last year, you're able to get those guys on the field for meaningful minutes and get them that good varsity experience. There's a difference between playing a varsity game and playing a JV game, you know, and the level of competition, the speed of the game is so much different, you know, between the JVs and the varsities, as it should be, you know. And yep. Those guys got meaningful varsity minutes last year, and took them a couple games to get it going, but they got it going right now for sure.
Yeah, and certainly they are going to be a factor in terms of contending for the state championship. That is West Hancock going forward in Class A. Coach Matt Dillon, my guest here, St. Abigail's head football coach. Now, Coach, you know, the reality check of the matter is you've had your first loss of the season now, and you've got to just kind of basically put this one to bed this weekend and see how your guys are going to respond here.
Well, we told them last night before we left the field, and said, this one's done. Forget about it. Symbolically, this is what I want you to do. Get a shovel, go dig a hole in the backyard somewhere, and put something in that hole and then cover it up and say, okay, this one's done.
Yeah.
It's over with, you know. And now we're moving on to Manson this week and homecoming and all that stuff that goes with that, you know. But I want them to put this one to bed, forget about it. You know, there's things we could sit here and dwell on for 48, 72 hours. We're not going to dwell on them. That stuff is over with. We got to focus on our next task at hand, which is Manson.
Yeah, and that's the truth of the matter. And what I want to ask you before we talk about Manson is Cole Kelly last night, the running back for West Hancock, 5 rushing touchdowns. Last week against North Union, Ryan Lang had a big game against you. Talk about the comparison between these two guys.
You know, it's interesting because they're different styles, you know, different but similar. I think Ryan Lang's a little bit faster. I think he's got quickness at the point of attack. We talked about, you know, him making jump cuts and yeah. accelerating out of sure. a jump cut. You're not going to get that from Kelly, but what you're going to get is a guy that at the point of attack is incredibly physical and just doesn't stop his feet from running. I mean, you have shoulder pads and knee pads to hit because everything in between is moved. It's not, you're not going to take him down there. So you need to get somebody low on his legs and hold on for dear life, and then somebody finish it off at the top. And we didn't get much of that last night.
And at 225 at the Class A level, that's an absolute load. I mean, that's a big back almost anywhere
yeah.
you go. But especially
there's a reason why he's leading the state in Class A in rushing.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
and there's a reason why Ryan Lang is probably in the top. After today, probably in the top 2 or 3. I mean, those two guys are going to be at the top of the class before it's all over with. They're both really, really good.
Any idea who's recruiting Cole Kelly?
I don't know. You know, it's because he's short, so
he's a bowling ball type.
My opinion, he's either at a small school, maybe a Division II school level. He's a fullback, but who plays with fullbacks anymore? You know,
true.
That's the problem.
True.
Offensively, so he's not really a fit in terms of an offensive player, which I think, you know, in our offense, like if I used this offense when I was the head coach at Cornell College, he'd be the first guy I was trying to recruit because he can dominate the game from the fullback position. But
true.
That, you know, you just don't see those offenses very often at the college level anymore. You know, you got your armies, you got your navies, you got your Air Force people. He'd be a great fit in one of those programs. And then on the defensive side, you know, if you look at him, he's 5'10". Most people are looking for those DNs that are 6'3", 6'4".
Put him maybe at Mike linebacker.
Maybe. And there's a you know, and I don't know what his characteristics are in terms of being able to read, you know. I mean, that's a pretty important role for a linebacker, to be able to read things and then blow it up. Now, he could do the blow-up part, but it's a matter of whether he's going to have the ability to read
true.
The plays and get in the right position.
True. I think somebody at the small school level, though, is going to see, you know, a guy who's a football player, a tremendous football player, that they can probably make
yeah.
something out of.
Well, and here's where I think what used to be called the Iowa Conference, now I think it's the American Rivers Conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Central College. They get a ton of those West Hancock kids that go to Central. Coach Bob Sanger was a good friend, and he might have played at Central. He sent his sons to Central. One of his sons coached with me at Dowling for several years, Rick Sanger.
Okay.
And it, that was kind of a pipeline. So it wouldn't shock me greatly to see him end up at a school like
for
Central.
Sure. Buena Vista's in that conference,
BV's in that conference. You got Co-College over at Cedar Rapids.
So they may be a market.
Loras College in Dubuque. You got Luther College up in Decorah. I mean, there's eight or nine schools that fit that bill, fit that conference, and I'd love to see him go play somewhere. Just like Ryan Lang, I told him I'm excited to see him play on Saturdays and not against me anymore.
Yeah, go play against somebody else. Now, these two guys, Ryan Lang last week, Cole Kelly last night, both put up good numbers against you. Obviously, some of that is them, but I think your concern probably that some of that is you too, and what you have to do to change that.
You know, we've got to become better tacklers at the point of attack. You know, we've got guys that can run, right?
Yeah,
and we ran him down a few times from behind and was able to bring him down, but you're still giving up a 40-yard run when that happens.
True.
You know, so you got to eliminate those things. All we can do, you know, is continue to work on tackling. And you're in a tough spot. You got 30 kids on the roster. How much live tackling can you do in practice?
True.
You know, I mean,
especially with COVID.
Yeah. And listen, here's the deal. You're not going to win the game on Tuesday at practice, but you could lose it.
Good.
You know, the wrong guy gets hurt, and all of a sudden now you're scrambling.
Not just that
right?
Friday, but maybe another Friday or two.
Yeah, for sure.
Situation.
For sure.
Now, Coach Matt Dillon, my guest here, St. Edward Gales, looking forward now to this week and Manson Northwest Webster. A little bit more, you know, not what West Hancock is, obviously, but another physical football team and a big offensive line and a pretty talented tailback. Braden Joel can get it done, and he's a guy that I know some smaller schools are looking at too. So, you know, 3 weeks in a row, Coach, you've got a guy who's going to be toting the rock against you here. He's pretty talented.
Well, you know, that's right. And he had a big game against us a year ago, you know, in the last game of the season. So, you know, we need to be able to match up as best we can physically. And you look at what we got on the field, you know, we're not very big other than Brock Stonick. You know, we got guys 175, 180 pounds that are playing linebacker. We got, D linemen that are 180 to 190 pounds. We're just not a big football team. So you got to find ways to try to overcome that. You do that with scheme. You do that with
technique, pad level,
all that stuff. And so we just got to keep working to get better. It's really that simple.
And I can attest to that. You know, you guys not having a ton of size, because I've seen your guys up close and personal in street clothes. And like you say, Stonick is really the only guy from a size standpoint. Some of the other guys, they certainly look athletic. Sean Flattery, Drew Schaefer, those guys look athletic.
Yes.
But they don't, you know, when they walk in a room, you're not wowed by them from
right.
a measurable standpoint.
If Stonick you saw, them, really if you saw them without their jerseys on and you just saw them walking the street, you'd say,
nice pretty looking. Average guy.
Yeah, very average in terms of size, and you know, until you see him on the field, and you see what they can do from a speed standpoint, athleticism, all that kind of stuff. But size wise, we're not going to scare anybody. That's
right.
For sure.
You're not going to win the battle in the airport, as they say, or coming off the bus. You're not going to win any games in that situation. I used to say that about my basketball teams when. We'd walk in the room there. You know, we don't win the eye test. We just got to win the ball game there. Coach Matt Dillon, my guest here. Now you've got Manson Northwest Webster. And, Coach, obviously the next game is the biggest game, and this is a big game for you guys to respond here. But also a game where Manson's 20 minutes down the road, if that. It bodes well for you. It's something you guys can point to if you're able to win this game. And last year you took it on the chin against them. So the motivation is there to win this kind of regional rival.
No question. You know, this is if you asked our kids who our biggest rival is, they would tell you it's Manson. And they'll be fired up to play this game. They want you know, after what happened to us a year ago, they want a chance for a little retribution. You know, we beat them 2 years ago in overtime on a fourth and nine pass because we couldn't kick a field goal at that point in time. In fact, we couldn't kick extra points at that point in time. But, you know, Thornton really had a nice game kicking, by the way. Thornton All Jets, you know, made his two extra points.
Who was leading Class A in kickoff.
Well, and his kickoffs, you know, I've asked him to because of coverage, because of who we're kicking to, we did a lot of squib kicks last night. And then the one time I said kick it deep, he almost had his first touchback. I mean, he kicked it inside the five, you know. And if he can do that consistently, I think we can kick the ball deep. But he's got to be able to do it consistently. So,
true.
And we just can't allow them to set up their kickoff return. And I told you, we gave up a kickoff return last night for a touchdown. But that was more personnel than anything else. We had basically our JV kickoff team on the field. And unfortunately, they had their varsity kickoff return team on the field. And that was not a good matchup for a JV kick.
In that situation, maybe just kick it out of bounds, taking it to 35.
We talked about that, but, you know, then there's always the potential that they say, no, we're just
back them up
five and make them kick it again.
That's a possibility, you know, too.
I've seen that happen more than once. Usually you're just happy to take the ball at the 35, but there's I've noticed in several of our game films that we've looked at that some teams are taking that penalty and making the team re-kick.
So. Yeah, and Fort Dodge did that last night against Marshalltown as well. Marshalltown you could tell they were deliberately kicking it away from Tyler Schreier and Sam Daniel last night, kicking it out of bounds. Well, eventually, you know, Dr. Coach's staff said, no, let's back it up and let's kick it again. And I think we did it three times before we actually got one of the up men caught on a pooch kick and returned it a little bit from there. But it was a cat and mouse game in that regard, too. And, you know, with Manson coming up, I know run defense is going to be stressed. We all know, you know, we both know Marty Hart a little bit now, their head coach. We know that he wants to establish that smash-mouth run game and run the ball north-south. And so you guys are going to have to be ready for that occasion there. But I think you got to feel good in terms of, you know, West Hancock is kind of a totally different animal from anybody else that you've seen and probably will see. So you got to feel better a little bit about the personnel matchup, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think we match up much better with Manson than we do physically with a team like West Hancock, without any doubt. And you know, I think as I watch them on tape, they do have some size, but they've struggled defensively, and hopefully we can continue to have them struggle defensively. They've scored points against everybody. You know, that smash-mouth game is tough to stop, and their quarterback throws a pretty nice football, and they got a couple guys that can go get it. Tate Bianchi's a nice little receiver. Their tight end is a nice player, and he had a long touchdown catch last week, I believe, in their game, or 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. Quarantined last week.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's very athletic, and so, you know, they've got some weapons on offense, and their quarterback continues to get better, you know, with game, you know, because Coach Anlicker's son took about every snap last year as quarterback.
True.
So all of these reps that he's getting is just giving him confidence as he moves forward. And you know, they're gonna be a challenge for us because this is really the first team that I think we've played that is going to have a pretty good mix of run and pass. So, yeah, the running game is a power run game. Try to just bust you right up the middle with Joel and with their fullback leading through. And you know, we've got to step up and make plays on defense. It's that simple.
As they say, it's going to be a football and a phone booth against Manson Northwest Webster on Friday night. Now, speaking of the Cougars of Manson Northwest Webster, they're going to play today in a Saturday game at North Union there as they are coming off quarantine. Today ended their quarantine, so they're doing a walkthrough this morning, probably doing that walkthrough as we speak, and going to go on the road and take on North Union. So, you know, kudos I want to say first to them for, you know, that's not an easy situation, but very, very easy to say,
no, we're not going to play on just a walkthrough. We're going to wait the next week. They didn't want to do that. The kids want to play. And kudos to North Union for saying, yeah, we'll move it
we'll
back.
We'll move our game, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's a tough thing for everybody. I mean, this is extraordinary times, this COVID time, and, you know, more and more teams are going to be affected. You just don't know how it's all going to play out. But
and you hope that you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all you can do.
But if you are, you need to be affected at the right time. The last thing you want to have happen is you get affected going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you got to drop out because
kind of like LSU coach Ed Orgeron.
Well, it happened to several baseball teams. You know that were Dowling was rated number one, ready to go to the state tournament.
That season's
gone. See ya. You know, and that's sad. It's tough on the coaches. It's tough on the players. You know, we just gotta be able to battle through all that stuff.
Of course, coaches at the college level talking about it too. Ed Orgeron's been talking about it to LSU. You know, whether you can decipher what he's saying when he talks or not, that's up to you. I can't because I spent time in Louisville.
Listen, I love Coach O. I love to hear him talk, man, because it's so Cajun. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He's a guy that if there ever was a guy born for a coaching job in a specific place, he is that guy.
No doubt.
In that specific place, and there's
perfect,
no doubt.
Perfect match.
I love to watch him, too, because he's intense. He wears his emotions on the sleeve, a lot like I was when I was a coach there. And I can certainly appreciate Coach O in that regard. So West Hancock last night took one on the chin. That is what it is. You'll move forward. And, of course, Friday night, a big regional rivalry against Manson Northwest Webster for St. Eben. You can hear that game on Sunday 99.7 Friday night. And one of the things that you are going to have a slight advantage in is they're playing today, so that's going to be one less day of preparation they're going to have for you.
Well, you know, and that's true. And you just never know how that might affect them. You know,
true.
If somebody gets banged up today, it's one less day of recovery time.
True.
You know, all those things going on. And
less day to process your film.
Yeah. And as coaches, you look at things maybe in a different way than the players do and the parents do, but. You know, at the very least, you want your kids to be able to play. You want them to have a season. You don't want them sitting out.
Well, that's what
I got to commend them for doing this. I don't know what that would be like to try to go play a game after sitting out for 2 weeks with zero practice.
You're going to have a walkthrough.
You're going to have a walkthrough today that probably 90% of that's not going to sink in. You know, I mean, they got their mind on other things. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's got to be a tough, tough situation. I would not want to have to try to defend a guy like Ryan Lang with zero practice and an hour walkthrough going into that game.
Yeah, he's hard enough to defend when you have a week.
You got a full week to try to prepare. Yeah. It's tough enough. You have no time, and you got a one-hour walkthrough. Let's get on the bus and go. That's going to be a tough one, but
it is.
I wish him luck and God bless him for at least taking the initiative to try to get this accomplished. So,
Coach Matt Dillon has been my guest here on the High V Fort Dodge Coach's Corner. Coach, thank you again this morning. Appreciate the time. Good to see you. We'll catch up with you this week and good luck going forward against Manson Northwest Webster.
Thanks, Rob. Greatly appreciate it, man. As always,
no problem. That's Coach Matt Dillon.